jubilant jazzy gents and jamming gems jonesing for genius jewels. Whoa. Welcome to Good Job Brain, your weekly quiz show and offbeat trivia podcast. This is episode 45, and I'm your humble host, Karen, and we are your squad of squibbing, squabbling, squishy scribes.
I'm Colin.
I'm Dana.
And I'm Chris.
And this episode is sponsored by men's apparel store Bonobos. Spectacular, spiffy, and super sweet slack sweaters, suits, and sportswear for sirs.
Swell.
Free and fast U.S. shipping and ridiculously easy returns. And Good Job Brain listeners and new customers get 20% off with the code SMARTYPANTS. And today is episode 45, so that means today's show is an all-quiz bonanza.
Yeah. Yay!
People love all-quiz, and we're going to start the year right with a bunch of fun quizzes that we all prepared for each other. And we're going to start off with our usual general trivia segment, Pop Quiz Hotshot. Here I have a random Trivial Pursuit card, and you guys have your barnyard buzzers. So here we go. Blue Wedge for geography. Name three of the four official languages of Switzerland.
All right.
Colin.
French.
Yeah.
German.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
French, German, three of the four is, I'm going to go for all four, and I'm going to go French, German, English, and Romanche?
You got Romanche, but it's not English.
Oh.
So it's French, German, Italian.
And Romanche.
Here we go. Pink Wedge for pop culture. What is the name of wrestler and movie star Dwayne Johnson? Dana.
The Rock.
The Rock.
The Rock.
Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Rock is cooking. People's eyebrow. Yellow Wedge. What city boasts the original Hard Rock Cafe?
Oh.
I don't even...
That's London.
Correct.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right.
London. It opened in 1971.
Mm.
Huh. Purple Wedge. What Shakespearean play includes the line, "Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears"?
I believe it's Julius Caesar.
Correct. And Green Wedge for science. What is the world's largest ocean?
The Pacific Ocean.
Correct. Mm. Not a trick question.
Yeah, you're looking at me like you messed this up.
And last question, Orange Wedge. About how many stitches did Hall of Fame hockey player Eddie Shore get during his career?
Oh,
multiple
God.
Choice.
Oh, oh, okay.
400, 600, or 900? Oh, my wow. God.
900.
Yeah.
Correct.
Always go with the highest number on that one. Yeah.
900
stitches?
900 stitches. Oh, yeah. Good job, everybody. Good job, brains. So it's our all quiz bonanza. Who wants to go first?
I've got a quiz we can start with.
Because right.
My quiz is New Year's, not really New Year's themed, but it is themed around renewal and rebirth, and it is called New Beginnings.
Ah.
So what I'm going to ask you guys, I'm going to give you some questions, and these are all themed around companies that started out making one certain product before landing on an entirely different product, switching their entire MO with changing times or just for the heck of it. Basically, it's a lot of companies that are very popular today, but you may not know about their origin stories. So, for example, if I were to go back to an old chestnut and say a video game company that started making playing cards in the 1800s, you would say
Nintendo.
Sure. Here we go. This camera and filmmaker has announced its intentions to get out of the analog photography business in the first half of 2013. Colin?
Is that Polaroid?
It is not Polaroid. Polaroid's already out of that business. Okay. Dana?
Is it Kodak?
It is Kodak. Yeah. Kodak is going to sell its... it still has the analog film business, but it is going to sell it this year.
Oh, spit it off.
And we'll be completely out of it. Polaroid, actually, they got out of the traditional Polaroid instant film business, but another company brought it back. This popular brand started as a San Francisco record store that also sold Levi's on the side. Since like Colin again.
I believe that was The Gap.
That was The Gap. It was a record store in San Francisco, sold clothing. This video game maker can trace its origins to a Hawaii company that imported slot machines and jukeboxes onto military bases. Its name was Service Games. I don't know. Let's let Karen take a stab at this one.
Is it Namco?
It's not Namco. Dana.
Sega?
It is Sega.
Sega
is a contraction of Service Games. Yep, it was a Hawaii-based company that eventually moved into Tokyo.
Really? Interesting.
Yep. This communications company started as a lumber mill in southwestern Finland. Colin.
Would that be Nokia?
It is, yes. Began as a lumber mill. This one-time maker of baking powder found its true calling when it began giving away, with every can, a free package of chewing gum. Sounds...
Oh. Hey, whoa. Is it Wrigley?
It is Wrigley.
Oh. Wow.
Yep. Huh. Made baking powder, made soap, and started giving away free gum with the baking powder. Became very popular.
Huh.
Similarly, a door-to-door book salesman came up with the idea of giving away small bottles of perfume to lure in female customers, and thus began...
Perfume.
Colin again.
Avon?
It's Avon, the door-to-door perfume company.
That makes
sense. Yep. Perfume and the chewing gum became more popular than the actual products.
Than books and baking soda.
People like free things. Hmm.
And finally... This passenger airline began as the sworn enemy of the boll weevil, dusting crops at the end of the Mississippi River.
Southernmost part.
Delta.
Yes.
Yeah, the Mississippi Delta.
Delta Airlines, which I was talking around. Its first paid passengers sat in a chair in the pesticide bin.
Perfect.
empty of pesticide. But yes.
Well, all right, who's next?
All right. So my quiz is called Heavy Metal Band or Disease. I'll say the name of a heavy metal band or disease, and you let me know which one you think it is. Hold up one finger if you think it's a heavy metal band, or two fingers if you think it's a disease.
Right. Okay.
One. Can we do the horns? Heavy metal band.
We'll do the let's do the horns. So that's two fingers.
Right.
It's heavy metal.
Right.
One finger.
Just
if it's
one
a disease.
Finger for disease.
All right, that's
like,
better.
Like you're probing something. Like you're,
yeah. Okay.
All right. First, Dokken. All right, so Colin says band, Karen says disease, Chris says band, it's a band.
Yes.
Oh.
A band. As immortalized on Wayne's World, when I think they said, you suck in. Dokken,
you suck in.
Alopecia. Everybody says disease, it's a disease. Blood rock.
Blood rock?
Yeah.
Blood rock. Oh.
Colin says disease, Karen says band, Chris says band. It is a band.
All right. I thought it was a trick question.
It sounds like what, like a bunch of eighth graders in their garage. It's like, what are we going to call a metal band? Blood rock.
Right.
What about Blue Cheer? Colin says band. Karen says disease. Chris says band. It's a band.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Blue Cheer?
Yeah.
That
sounds so cheery for a metal band.
They were a Woodstock era band.
Cal Cooley. All right, Colin says disease, Karen says band, Chris says disease, it's a disease.
I'm fucking... It's like 50-50.
It is. Baron Rojo.
Baron Rojo?
Everybody says band, it's a band.
Okay, all
right. Bad case of the Baron Rojos.
My Rojo is totally barren.
What about otitis?
I know, it's a trick.
All right, Colin and Chris say disease. Karen says band. It's a disease.
It's a disease.
Of the ear.
Right? My dog has otitis right now.
Oh.
Crocus.
Crocus?
Crocus.
I got to go band.
Everybody says band. It's a band.
All right.
What about GERD?
GERD?
Yeah.
How is it spelled?
GERD.
Are there any umlauts?
No.
Any lightning?
Yeah, the D is a lightning.
All right, so Colin and Chris say disease. Karen says band, it's a disease.
Oh, my God.
How about Kuru?
Kuru.
Can we get the spelling?
Spelling, please.
K-U-R-U.
I'm going to say disease.
Everybody says disease. It's a disease.
Yay, oh. Disease.
Hooray.
Okay, disease. Mm-hmm.
Good job, you guys.
All right.
Very good.
Oh, come on. Really, and you didn't even throw in anthrax?
Also, Black Death is a band and a disease.
Oh.
I would like to know how many of those diseases you could actually contract at a heavy metal show. That would be a really interesting Venn diagram to put up there. Yeah.
Otitis for sure.
Yeah. Otitis definitely, yeah. Right.
All right, my turn, and my quiz is called What's in a Name? And this is partly inspired by recently at Pub Trivia, we got the question, which is, what does TMZ, as you know, the celebrity gossip news site. What does TMZ stand for? And what does it stand for?
30-mile zone.
Yeah.
And we did not put that. We put 3-mile zone. Close. We were so close. Yeah. We were so close.
We're thinking 3-mile island.
So my quiz is going to be about what things stand for. You might see a lot of letters or abbreviations, names and companies, or names of mascots. So here we go. What does the Q in Q-tip stand for?
I think I've read that it's quality.
Yes.
Oh.
Quality tip. Right, here's another one. We all know Lord of the Rings author J.R.R. Tolkien. What does J.R.R. stand for?
Oh, man.
It's like Johann.
I know, like, wow. I think it's just... I think the J is just John.
Correct.
It's like John. It's Rivendell. Reginald.
Rivendell.
Is it Ronald?
Oh my
Ronald,
God.
One
oh.
of them.
It is.
Oh, all right. That's good. That's as far as I can.
John
get.
Ronald Reuel. That's R-E-U-E-L. John Ronald Reuel. Huh. All right, and another author, C.S. Lewis, famous for the Narnia series. What does C.S. stand for?
Is this Clive Staples Lewis?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
Clive Staples
Lewis.
That's
you were making that up. Ooh. I see why he abbreviates his name.
That's an awesome, like, blues man name. Clive Staples.
Yeah. 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 Yep.
Clive Missing Staples and calling. The Chronicles of Narnia.
Right.
Okay. Why did the FBI call Ted Kaczynski the Unabomber? What does the UNA stand for?
I believe it was because his earlier targets were universities and airlines.
Yes, that's UN and A, hence Unabomber.
Huh.
So we all are familiar with the mascot from the Michelin tire company, right? Yeah. Kind of looks like a snowman, big fat guy made out of tires, a Michelin man. He actually has a real name.
Uh-huh.
Does anybody know his name?
Oh, goodness.
And I bet our Francophile
I was just going to say, it's probably something, because they're a French company.
Oh, my God.
Le man.
I'm Freddy sure Freddy. It's a bad pun.
Treddy Freddy.
That's good.
It actually is Bibendum, or Bib, or Bibelobis.
Okay.
Bibendum, which is Latin. So here, it's a weird story. Bibendum is actually one of the world's oldest trademarks. And originally, a French cartoonist created an image, like a poster, for a brewery. And it features like a large fat guy holding like a huge goblet of beer with the phrase, Latin phrase, nunc est bibendum, which means now is the time to drink. Okay. However, the brewery rejected this design and this idea. So the French cartoonist then showed it to the Michelin people. And the Michelin people were like, this is great. Let's make that fat guy look like he's made of tires.
Really?
Yes. And so they pretty much kept the whole concept.
Just turned him into tires.
Turned him into tires, including the phrase, now is the time to drink, which seems really odd
weird for it.
They kind of spun it in a weird way. Huh. They added the tagline. The Michelin tire drinks up obstacles as a way to
straining to do some explaining.
They replaced the beer in the goblet with like a bunch of broken road hazards and stuff. It's so weird. It kind of makes sense, but it kind of doesn't make sense.
It seems pathetic, actually. Like, you should drink. Look at all the broken road hazards.
But regardless, Bibendum from the Latin phrase has become the Michelin man's name.
Huh.
All right, here's another mascot. What is the name of the Quaker Oats guy?
Oh, Wilford Brimley.
I have read this because they're slimming him down.
They
were giving him a little bit of a makeover. The Quaker Oats guy. I feel terrible when I hear this because I've heard
Well, so
this.
A lot of people are like, oh, he's commonly mistaken for Benjamin Franklin.
Right, yeah.
A lot of kids think he's Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that because, you know, Quaker, Pennsylvania, maybe it's like William Tell. It's not. He's just known as Larry.
Larry. Yep.
All right. True or false? Gatorade was named after the animal gator.
False.
Well...
indirectly, it was named after the University of Florida Gators.
Right.
Yes, correct.
It was developed for the athletes there.
Right.
The last question. What symbol is sometimes called the hat, the up arrow, or the shark?
It's
on our keyboard.
It's probably called the carrot.
Okay, that's weird.
The carrot. So, you know, on your number 6 key on your keyboard, you see the little carrot. It's like a little chevron upside down V. It's called the carrot, C-A-R-E-T. So do you guys know what the name the carrot comes from?
Oh, jeez. Is it like check or something?
So what would you use the carrot for other than noting like mathematical exponential?
Inserting words.
Yes.
Yes. Inserting words. When you're proofreading, if you want to add something, you put in carrot and then you write on top, add whatever word or phrase. So carrot comes from the Latin term. It lacks. So, you're lacking this word. I'm going to put an arrow and then squeeze in my word in here. It lacks. So there you go.
That's a good one. So I have prepared a quiz for you guys based on something that does come up in pub quiz for us, which is celebrity autobiographies. And, you know, the whole world of celebrity and famous people autobiographies and memoirs.
And they have the cheesiest titles.
Chock full of bad puns and, and allusions to things. So that's essentially the gist of this quiz. I'm going to give you guys the name of the memoir or the autobiography and a little bit of a clue about who the person is. And you tell me who the person is.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, no.
And we'll try. So, for example, if I were to say this politician released a memoir called Going Rogue, you'd say
Sarah Palin.
Exactly. All right. Here we go. This American athlete's memoir was titled Bad as I Wanna Be. I believe that was Chris.
Dennis Rodman.
It is Dennis Rodman. Yeah. Yes. Featuring him nude on a motorcycle with several basketballs. It does not lack for subtlety.
Hope they wipe that thing down.
What American president released a memoir titled A Time to Heal? I think Chris again.
Is it George W. Bush?
It is not George W. Bush. Karen?
Is it Franklin D. Roosevelt?
It is not Franklin D. Roosevelt.
Is it Carter?
It is not Carter. Oh. You guys,
who is it?
It is Gerald Ford.
Oh.
A Time to Heal,
yeah,
referring, of course, to the Nixon scandal and all that
came
into
office.
I was thinking of like actual physical handicap or limitations.
The name of this famous revolutionary's memoir takes its name from the vehicle he used to travel across South America. So can you give me both the person... and the memoir. Karen.
Che Guevara?
Yes.
Motorcycle Diaries.
Correct.
Yeah.
Ernesto Che Guevara.
It was a movie. That's how I knew.
It was, in fact, also a movie. You know, he was
it's
a real person.
I'm well
he was a real person, yes.
Gael Garcia Bernal.
This enormously successful athlete released an autobiography titled Beneath the Surface.
What?
Chris.
Michael Phelps?
Yes.
Hey!
Michael Phelps.
All right, there we go.
Oh, yes. Water.
Very good. Yes. What world leader released a memoir titled Long Walk to Freedom, which partly covered his time being jailed as a terrorist? That was Dana.
Nelson Mandela.
It was Nelson Mandela. Yes. This American entertainer released his memoir titled Leading with My Chin. Chris.
Jay Leno. Hey.
What singer released a memoir titled Kiss and Makeup? Karen.
Gene Simmons.
Yeah, and I was deliberately fudging the pronunciation there.
Yes, Kiss and Makeup.
Kiss and Makeup. I thought that was pretty clever. Yeah. I gotta give it to Gene Simmons multiple or whoever levels. Came up with that idea. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
It's not just one gag. It's multiple gags.
I do like the ones that work on multiple levels. So here's a good one.
Oh.
All right. So the first part is probably pretty easy. What actor and politician released a memoir entitled Total Recall? That's Dana.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
It was Arnold Schwarzenegger. All right. Now, this is actually a three-part reference.
Whoa.
Can you name all three things that he's referring to with the title?
Wait, just with it's Total Recall?
Total Recall. So
he was... Oh.
Is this the second question?
Whoever wants to say.
Okay.
So he came into office because of a recall.
Yes. Governor. That's really the tricky one.
He was in a movie called Total Recall.
He was in a movie called Total Recall.
And he's recalling his life.
He's recalling his life.
Wow.
But the fact that he became governor of our great state of California during a recall election, the first one in California history, pretty clever. I gotta give it to him.
Or to whoever wrote it.
What famous singer and guitarist titled his memoir, Who I Am? Dana.
Jimmy Page?
No. Karen?
You said guitarist, huh?
Guitarist and singer.
I
can tell you're so close.
Yeah,
you're in the right band.
The guy from Tommy.
Pete Townsend.
It was Pete Townsend. Oh. Yes, that's why I had to add guitarist so that you could separate. Yes, Who Darn. I Am, Pete Townsend. All right, we're going to close out here with two last ones here. Four very famous politicians and thinkers. Bill Clinton, Fidel Castro, Golda Meir, and Leon Trotsky all named their memoir the same thing.
Don't know.
Chris.
My Life.
My Life. That's right. Hmm. All right. What R&B singer titled his memoir Sola Coaster, The Diary of Me?
R.
Dana.
Kelly.
R. Kelly.
Of course. Yeah. Like, before you even started, like, what R&B? I was like, oh,
Sola
I know.
Coaster. Yeah, I got it. Sola Coaster. Yeah.
All right, let's take a break and a word from our sponsor.
It's where you go for brains and style. These pants are magic, they'll make you smile. They're hip, they fit, such wit, free ship. B-O-N-O-B-O-S. It's a no-brainer for gents to look dapper and sharp. So go bananas for bonobos. They're smart pants for smarty pants.
And you are listening to Good Job Brain, and today's our special all-quiz bonanza number 9. And who's up next with their own quiz? Dana?
So this quiz is called Noodles.
Oh, this is the night. It's a beautiful night. And we call it a bella notte.
Whoa! I will give you the Italian translation of a name of a noodle, and you tell me what noodle it is.
Like literal translation.
Yeah.
All right.
Because some of the translations are very close to the noodle, and some are seem random. So
we're gonna have to use our noodles for this one.
Yeah.
Get out.
Little twines.
Spaghetti.
Yes, spaghetti. Mm.
Spaghetti.
What about little tongues?
Oh man.
Karen? Linguini.
Yes.
Oh,
linguini.
Of course.
Linguini.
Oh, God. Overthinking.
Yep.
Little worms.
I know this one. I love it. It's vermicelli.
Yeah.
Oh, from vermin?
That makes sense.
Worm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, worm. Ooh.
Vermicelli.
No,
now it's gross.
Yeah, now it's gross.
Little hairs.
Is it capellini?
Yes. Kappa, like head.
Mm-hmm.
Little pies.
Ravioli.
Nope.
No.
Good accent.
Yeah, you don't get extra points for the accent.
Tortini?
Close.
Tortellini.
Tortellini. Pies. They're like little pies.
Butterflies.
Fusilli.
No.
No, it's... I know this one. It's
Monarch.
It's kind of close.
Is it moss?
You'd recognize them. They kind of look like little butterflies or little bows.
I've heard of bow tie, but I mean, I don't know the Italian
just called
name
bow ties.
For it. Yeah.
Farfalle.
Farfalle.
Farfalle. Farfalle.
Hmm.
Cooking pot. This one was random.
Cooking pot.
Is this ravioli?
No.
Dang it.
I give up.
It's lasagna.
Oh.
Huh. Lasagna means
cooking pot.
Cooking pot. Huh.
Crazy.
Who knew? Well, now everybody does. Cool.
Those are good. Those
good
are
quiz. Good. So I have a quiz. So we were listening to some old episodes of Good Job Brain over the holidays with my parents, and the first in line segment came up, and I was like, "Oh man, we haven't done a first in line in a while." And
that was
of course,
a good one.
I really thought this is going to be like a more regular thing, and then we just sort of slacked off and didn't do
we've
it.
Had but a first in line, yeah, but we've not had that many.
So first in line is these are famous first lines from books, movies. There might be a play and there might be a song in there as well. And so I'm going to give you the first line and all you have to do is give me the author and give me the work.
All right.
You got to know both. You don't know about me without you have read a book by the name of The Adventures of Tom Sawyer, but that ain't no matter.
Oh, would that be Huckleberry Finn? Or yes. The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn?
It is Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah. By Mark Twain.
Blank. Light of my life, fire of my loins.
That is Lolita.
It sure is.
Yes.
Vladimir Nabokov.
There you go. My name is Lester Burnham. This is my neighborhood. This is my street. This is my life. I am 42 years old. In less than a year, I will be dead. Of course, I don't know that yet. And in a way, I am dead already. Sounds like Dana.
American Beauty.
Yeah. I'm going back to Australia. I might never see you again. Karen.
Greece.
Yes!
Oh, wow.
On the beach.
Spoken by Olivia Newton.
Olivia Newton.
Wow.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. Dana?
That was Colin.
Oh, Colin?
Yeah. That is LL Cool J.
Yes. Yes.
Mama said knock you out.
Indeed it is.
You said that so matter-of-fact.
Yeah.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to, and the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir.
I have a couple of guesses.
Do you maggots understand this?
I'll take a guess.
Go for it.
Full Metal Jacket?
Of course.
Okay. Yes. All right. Directed by Kubrick.
Yes, indeed. Finally... Dog carcass in alley this morning. Tire tread on burst stomach. This city is afraid of me. I have seen its true face. Karen.
That is The Watchman by Alan Moore.
Indeed.
Graphic novel.
That is the first line spoken in the graphic
by
novel.
By Rorschach.
Yeah. All right. Well, good job, everyone.
That was good.
I was going to say Bridget Jones's Diary.
Dog carcass.
The first cut of this was really dark before she edited it down.
Yeah. It was dark. The first line.
P.S. I'm so single.
Yeah. Like, I think in the beginning of that movie, she's like in her pajamas, like singing all by myself.
Yeah. Drinking vodka.
It's really depressing.
Well,
she worried about a dog eating her, so there was a dog. Anyway.
But no, it was Watchmen.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Watchmen, crying out for a mashup. It's crying out for a mashup of the two.
So I have a related quick quiz, and this is also kind of tied into pub trivia. We get Shakespeare questions a lot.
A lot of the superlatives.
Yeah. And I think Shakespeare, the bard himself, he really deserves his own episode maybe later on because there's so much trivia about him, his life, his works, you know, especially his contribution to the English language. But for this segment, I'm going to ask you guys about the superlatives of his work. This always shows up on pub trivia. Things like, you know, what is the shortest play? What is the longest play?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And make sure you remember these and you can totally ace those questions at pub trivia. So here we go. Well, speaking of shortest and longest plays, what is the longest Shakespearean play? Who talks a lot?
I'm going to say,
a lot of talking.
All right, I'm going to throw out, is it King Lear?
Incorrect.
Oh. Is it?
Lots of talking, lots of dialogue and monologue.
I mean, it's got to be one of the series. Yeah, Henry VIII or is it like Coriolanus or one of those? Is it
Macbeth?
One of the...
You guys are overthinking. Yep,
really?
It is Hamlet.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. That's the longest play.
So it says
you were trying to get us to see. You're like, who talks a lot?
Yeah.
Who talks a lot? Who can't shut up?
The average length of a Elizabethan England play is about 3,000 lines. Hamlet has 4,042 lines. Mm. Longest Shakespearean play. Which play is the shortest?
Is that As You Like It?
incorrect.
Man,
it is a comedy, though.
I'm trying.
We just had this. Oh man,
Gentlemen of Verona had the fewest characters in it.
I think it's Two Gentlemen of Verona.
No,
is it Twelfth Night?
The Comedy of Errors.
Okay, all right, okay.
So that's maybe
the shortest.
Maybe like a weird mnemonic is like, it's full of errors, so it's the shortest because you take
He's
everything
like, let's
out.
Finish this thing up.
Yeah. He realized how many errors were in there, and it's like, you know, I'm just going to stop right now.
So since Hamlet has like about 4,000 lines, Comedy Errors has about 1,800 lines.
Oh, wow.
So a lot shorter. All right, and Dana, you've mentioned the Two Gentlemen of Verona have the smallest cast. What play has the largest cast? It's one of his historic ones.
Yes, I was going to say Midsummer Night's Dream, so it's clearly not that.
I'll guess Julius Caesar.
It is Henry the VI, Part 2.
Whoa.
Largest cast of all Shakespearean plays. All right, which Shakespeare character has the most lines? Who cannot shut up?
Hamlet.
It is Hamlet.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Wow.
So out of the around 4,000 lines of the whole play, about 1,600 of those are all from Hamlet. Most lines of any character in a single play. Which Shakespearean female character has the most lines?
I will guess it.
So this is hard because not only do you have to know the play, you have to know the actual character. Beloved heroine.
Right. I was going to guess Kate from Taming of the Shrew, but now you're making me think it might be Juliet.
It is Rosalind from As You Like It. I want you guys to tell me what are the three top famous and most quoted Shakespeare quotes from his plays. Doesn't have to be in order, but
okay.
Top three.
I'm going to go with, well, first of all, we had come up, friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. So, I mean, that's in there. To be or not to be is probably
that is number one.
That's number one.
All right, so to be or not to be, that is a question from Hamlet. Mm-hmm. That's one. What are the other two?
Romeo.
Wherefore art thou, Romeo? Oh, Romeo, yeah. Wherefore art thou, Romeo, from?
Romeo and Juliet.
Yes.
Was it Friends, Roman, Countrymen? No.
No.
Incorrect. This is from As You Like It.
Oh.
I actually didn't know this was Shakespeare.
Probably some common turn of phrase like all's well that ends well or something like
that.
I'll
tell you what I want, what I really want.
I want to.
What is it?
All the world's a stage. And all the men and women merely players from As You Like It. There you go. Some Shakespeare superlatives. Very handy.
Go Bard.
Go Bard or go home. That'll be the name of our Shakespeare players company. Job Brain Players present Go Bard or go home.
So I love the kinds of quizzes that reward paying very close attention to things. if you know me well, that won't surprise you. So I've put together a quiz for you guys to see how well you know the details of things that we may come in contact with many times a day, year after year after year, which are corporate logos. They almost become invisible. We see them so much. So I'm going to pose to you guys questions about very famous logos and see how well you know them. And I hope this will be fun, and I hope it's not a catastrophe.
Okay.
Or both.
So, we're all in it together. It'll
yeah,
be fine.
Yeah, yeah. We'll try and start easy here. So we've talked before about the mermaid in the Starbucks logo.
Excuse me. I think you mean a Melusine.
She is, in fact, a Melusine, right? which you can tell by her split tail. Yes. For the purposes of this question, we'll call her a mermaid. In the Starbucks logo, what is on her head? Karen.
I think Dana mentioned this before. It's starfish.
It is not a starfish.
Crown with a star on it?
It is a crown with a star on it. Yes. And the logo has, of course, evolved over time. You know, you used to be able to see her boobs, for example. But yes, star on a crown. That's right. Okay.
Melu boobs.
How many rings make up the logo for Audi car company? Karen.
Four.
It is four rings, yes.
Is there a significance behind it?
There is, actually. So Audi, like many car companies, is the result of other companies merging over time. Mm-hmm. And so at once upon a time, each of the rings represented one of the constituent companies.
Oh,
and it's just gotten simplified and simplified. Yep. So speaking of numbers and logos, the NBC network here in America famously has the NBC Peacock. How many feathers?
Oh, man.
How many feathers are in the NBC Peacock's tail? Chris.
13.
What? Incorrect.
Five.
Incorrect.
Seven.
Dana is correct with six. Oh, it is very, it's number. I think it's a great logo. Clean, what is symmetrical.
Because it's well, so, the middle one.
Here, that's right. Oh, so yeah. Three, and then the head of the peacock, and then another three. Does anyone want to take a stab at the order that the colors are in?
No.
Blue.
No one wants to.
They've got the basic rainbow colors. So from left to right, they are yellow, orange, red, peacock head, purple, blue, green.
Okay, so it's like split in the middle.
It's like a split rainbow, right? Kind of out from the head. Yep.
Okay.
Is there a hyphen or no hyphen in the full script Coca-Cola logo? Chris.
I believe there's a hyphen.
There is, in fact, a hyphen. Mm-hmm. Is there a period or no period in the current Dr. Pepper logo? I think that was Chris again.
I believe there is no period.
There is no period after the doctor. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Dr. Pepper.
Mm-hmm. What animal can you find hiding in the mountain logo on a bar of Toblerone chocolate?
Wow!
And yes, it is the Matterhorn, but there is a hidden animal.
I think it's a bear.
It is a bear. Yeah. Yes, there is a bear. Hidden yes, bear. And it's related to the company's origins. Mm. Yeah,
It was founded by bears.
This company's world famous logo began as a simple three-pointed star. And then when it merged with another company, combined the influence of a laurel wreath around the edges before it settled on its current design. What company is this?
What's a three-pointed star?
Mercedes-Benz?
Yes, Mercedes-Benz. That's right. The original was just the three-pointed star, which is still in the middle. And then they kind of combined the Benz laurels around the edges to sort of simplify it.
Hmm.
What famous Latin phrase appears on the package of Marlboro cigarettes? It's part of the Shield logo, the Philip Morris logo. Very famous three-word phrase.
Oh, e like, pluribus uno.
Carpe diem. I was like, it's kind
of dark. It is a phrase commonly attributed to somebody whose name has come up several times in this episode.
Julius Caesar.
Yes.
Veni Vidi Vici.
Yes, is embedded in the logo of the Philip Morris crest. The Walt Disney Company uses a stylized version of Uncle Walt's signature as their primary logo base.
Uh-huh.
Two of the letters in the Disney name are lowercase. Which letters are they? That was Dana.
I and Y.
It is I and Y. Yes, with the huge superfluous dot over the I. How many arrows are there as part of the Subway logo, Subway sandwich chain?
There are arrows?
There are arrows included as part of the letters. Dana.
Now I think there are two, but now I'm thinking there's more.
You are correct. There are two. There's one coming off the end of the S and one coming off the end of the Y on the other end.
All of a sudden I was like, there were arrows on everything as I was talking.
All right. Last one here. So this one is a little bit of a myth dispelling as well. So contrary to an often told story, this car company's logo did not actually begin as a stylized version of a spinning airplane propeller. Karen.
That is BMW.
Yes, and BMW.
The whole urban legend is that the blue and the white, it's like what happens when propellers, like, they keep spinning and they make solid colors.
That's right. And this is an example of one of those stories where the company itself has perpetuated this story over the years because it just makes for such great copy. And, you know, they were involved in airplane production at one time. So where do the colors blue and white? They have a very, very significant meaning.
I think they're the colors from the flags of that part of Germany or
absolutely
county,
right.
Or I forgot what they're called.
You are absolutely right. They are the colors of the Bavarian flag.
Yep, that's right.
And so the B in BMW is Bavarian Motor Works. Hmm. Yep, so that's where they come from.
I'm so smart.
Good job, guys. Yeah. You are so smart, Karen.
How can I be like you?
All right, time for our last quiz. And of course, we have music round, everybody's favorite music round. And so this one is actually inspired by a listener who wrote in, Ben Hoover. He actually runs his own trivia night where he is.
Big time.
And he loves Name That Tune or music round. So I was inspired by Ben's idea for a music round. So I'll be playing five short clips of songs and you have to let me know what the artist is.
Okay.
Now, there is a theme. Identify the artist and at the end, identify the theme. Here we go.
All right.
I
Dana.
White Town.
It is White Town. Very famous 90s song.
Yeah.
All right, number two.
Popular.
I thought this was going to be tricky. Together.
Percy's Sledge.
Way to back out there.
I was saying Benny King, and then I was like, oh, well, that's not what they're saying.
The words I'm saying don't match the words.
Oh, busted.
It is Percy Sledge. Remember that one.
All right, so we have Very White covered. Town, Percy Sledge. Okay, all right.
I solved it already, by the way. Just FYI. I just want to make sure everybody knows I was first.
I solved it already. I just don't feel the need to boast, Chris.
Girl, you'll be a woman soon. I love you so much, can't count all the ways I died for you, girl, and all they can say is he's not your kind. They never get tired of putting it down, and I never know when I come around what I'm gonna find.
Wow, you guys are good. I thought these were gonna be tricky.
Is Gary Puckett and the Union Gap?
Incorrect.
Oh, no.
I believe it is a cover by Urge Overkill of the Neil Diamond song.
Yes, it is. This artist is Urge Overkill, made famous in the Pulp Fiction original soundtrack.
Oh, huh.
Kate Bush.
Yes, Kate Bush.
Only one voice like that, yeah.
Covered famously by Maxwell, R&B singer. This song was in a Kevin Bacon movie called She's Having a Baby. And the cover by Maxwell was in Love and Basketball. So
that was a good movie.
Used the movies, yeah. Hmm. And the last one. Someone else's eye is now woman. Said get away, American woman. Listen what I say. Hey.
Oh, God. Ah.
Your veins are popping.
Absolutely blanking on this, and so
of course we know the cover, which Lenny is done Kravitz by Lenny Kravitz.
I know the original. That's what I know.
This is the original.
It's is there a G in there? That's all I there can come is. Up with. That's oh god it. Argh. All right, what is it?
It's like
oh no, wait, is it? It's not Grand Funk Railroad, is it?
No, it is the Guess.
Oh, the Guess Who.
Not the Who, but the Guess Who.
All right. All I could get was G. I'll take 1/10 credit.
Sure. Good job. And that was the music quiz. And the theme is?
Woman.
Woman. So in my own defense, I was looking this up as we were doing this quiz. Gary Puckett and the Union Gap, the wrong answer that I gave. And the reason that this is such an easy mistake is because Gary Puckett and the Union Gap is the band that did Woman, Woman. Young Girl, Lady Willpower, and This Girl Is a Woman Now. Like, all the songs that sound very similar to that and are themed around the same thing. And yet, somehow, Girl, You'll Be a Woman Soon is not one of those songs.
Wow. That isn't...
Good job. And feel, good retrieval.
I feel cheated. Yeah.
All right. And that is our All Quiz Bonanza number 9. Thank you guys for joining me. And thank you guys, listeners, for listening in. Hope you learned a lot of stuff about pasta and companies and logos and Shakespeare and the Guess Who. The comments still really livid about that one. And you can find us on iTunes, on Stitcher, on SoundCloud, and also on our website, which is goodjobbrain.com. And check out our sponsors at bonobos.com. And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.